companions, believers, the stories we hear, the timeless message forever clear. The timeless message forever clear. The timeless message. The timeless message.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidil Mursaleen. Amma ba'd fa'a'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajeem. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Wa salatu wa salamu alayka ya Rasulullah. Wa salatu wa salamu alayka ya Habiballah. Wa salatu wa salamu alayka ya Nabiyallah. Wa ala alika wa ashabika ya Nurallah. Dear viewers of Madani Channel, welcome back to another fantastic episode on the Silsila, the Timeless Message. And mashallah, today on the Timeless Message, we are going to be discussing a very, very beautiful, insightful topic of discussion, and that is regarding Satan's enmity with humans. Yes, as we know, Shaitan, he is our open enemy, and he has been rejected from the majestic court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in today's episode, we are going to dive into this beautiful topic of discussion. We are going to be discussing why he was rejected. We are going to be discussing the enmity that Shaitan has with human beings. We are also going to be discussing the tricks of Shaitan as well. But before that, let us first and foremost mention the excellences of reciting salawat upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in which our beloved master sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has very beautifully mentioned that decorate your gatherings by reciting salawat upon me, for your recitation of salawat upon me will be a noor, a light for you on the day of Qiyamah. So let us all collectively, full of love, send salawat upon the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Alhamdulillah, dear viewers of Madani Channel, as always, we first and foremost thank our most merciful creator Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the countless blessings that he has bestowed upon you and I. And always, as a reminder, as you know, a reminder is beneficial for a believer. So once again, as a reminder, no matter your state in life, no matter your circumstances, whether you're rich, poor, whether you have lost something, whether you have gained something, you have lost an item, you have lost wealth, whatever the case may be, always say, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen ala kulli hal, that all praises are due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is Rabb of all the worlds, upon every single state or circumstances that I may be in. Now, sometimes it happens where you are granted more, you show shukr for that, you say Alhamdulillah. Sometimes it happens that an item, a belonging of yours is taken away, wealth is taken away, something is of yours is taken away. Even in that case, you say Alhamdulillah ala kulli hal, because we don't know the wisdom behind it. It is, subhanallah, in all cases, it is the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon you and I. You've gained something, Alhamdulillah. You've lost something, Alhamdulillah. And with that mindset, you would see how it takes you a very, very long way in life, inshallah. So always adopt the habit and the quality of being content, being patient, and praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in all circumstances that you may be in life. So yes, we are discussing Satan's enmity with humans. And no doubt, every person dislikes his enemy and tries his best, his utmost best, to stay away from his mischief. The stronger the enemy, the greater the precaution to stay protected from him, and greater are the protective measures. Now remember, the biggest and most dangerous enemy of human beings is Shaitan. From the awliya Allah to ordinary people, Shaitan has enmity towards everyone, and you know, uses numerous ploys and different tricks to mislead them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned various ayat, verses in the Holy Quran of how Shaitan can be identified. And inshallah, as we journey through today's episode, we are going to be mentioning those verses of the Holy Quran, those blessed hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the stories of our pious predecessors, and methods of Shaitan strikes, you know, unsuccessful with regards to Shaitan's enmity with humans. To give you a glimpse, right, of shaitan's enmity with humans. Once, Sayyidina Shaykh Abdul Qadir Al-Jilani rahimahullah, who is Imam Al-Awliya, the leader of the Awliya, he was traveling. During his travel, he rested for a few days at such a place where there was no water. So when Shaykh Abdul Qadir Al-Jilani rahimahullah felt thirsty, it began to rain, due to which he quenched his thirst. He then saw a light in the sky, through which one part became enlightened and a face became apparent, from which a voice was heard that, "Oh Abdul Qadir, I am your Rabb and I have made halal for you all things that are haram." Allahu Akbar. Hearing this, Ghawth-i Azam rahimahullah, he recited, "A'udhu billahi minash shaitani rajim," and said that, "Oh cursed shaitan, go away." That enlightened part, it turned into darkness, and the face turned into smoke. Shaitan then struck again by saying, "Oh Abdul Qadir, because of your knowledge, the order of your Rabb and your comprehension in relation to your ranks, you were able to save yourself. Otherwise, I have muslet 70 pious people like this." Subhanallah, wa Ghawth-e Pak rahimahullah also made the strike of shaitan, who is the enemy of humans, unsuccessful. How did he make it unsuccessful? He said that this is only due to the favor and mercy of my merciful Rabb Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When Ghawth-e Pak rahimahullah was asked, "How did you know that this was shaitan?" He said, "By his saying this, that verily I have made halal for you all things that are haram." Allahu Akbar. So, Divis of Madani Channel, we find out from this incident that shaitan has enmity towards ordinary people, but his enmity with the pious people of Allah is much stronger. Something for us to understand. And he makes, you know, numerous attacks to mislead them. Now, despite being unsuccessful many times, he doesn't lose hope. Just as we have heard in this incident, shaitan tried to mislead Shaykh Abdul Qadir Al-Jilani rahimahullah by saying that he made halal for him all things that were haram. And Ghawth-e Pak rahimahullah, he rendered the strike of his unsuccessful. Right, that was one. We also come to know that no matter how highly ranked and pious a person may be, or a person is, whether he is a peer, spiritual guide, whether he is a faqir, whether he is a scholar, whether he is a wali, any worship that has been made obligatory by Allah Ta'ala can never be excused. Now just think that who has the highest status from all creation? No doubt the answer to this is Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was such a salah offerer that no one can compare to. No one can even think of worshipping like him, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Tahajjud was also obligatory, was also fard upon him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Although he is the owner of the sharia, but he has also fulfilled the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So yes, Divis of Madani Channel, remember that shaitan, he is the open enemy of mankind. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned this in the Holy Quran, in which it is mentioned, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, Inna ash-shaytana kana lil-insani aduwwan mubeena, that indeed shaitan is an open enemy of human beings. Now we learn, shaitan is the open enemy of mankind. To make this enmity apparent, shaitan, he uses many, many tactics. Sometimes he makes people commit ostentation. Why? To destroy their good deeds. Sometimes he instills evil whispers to stop them from carrying out good deeds. Sometimes he causes quarrels and enmity between Muslims to make them, you know, backbite and slander one another. Sometimes he makes people lie to try and destroy their hereafter. Sometimes he makes people jealous of one another to try and send them into the hellfire. Sometimes he makes people a target of his enmity. How? By involving them in arrogance. Allahu Akbar. Sometimes he fulfills his aim by creating hidden enmity in the hearts of Muslims. Sometimes he disgraces people in this life and the hereafter by getting them to be disobedient to their parents. Allahu Akbar. Sometimes he deprives people from getting the unaccountable reward of patience. How? By making them impatient and making them shout and scream and, you know, see all sorts of funny things, complain during illnesses. Allahu Akbar. Sometimes he prevents people from offering salah, performing obligatory acts, and learning obligatory and necessary knowledge of deen. He stops people from reciting the Holy Quran. Sometimes he makes people lazy in performing good deeds. All in all, Shaitan tries to entrap people in numerous ways to make his enmity apparent. Now, we have to be mindful of his strikes. You know, in order to defeat your enemy, you got to study your enemy. You got to know your enemy. And this is what we have to do here. Shaitan is the open enemy of man, of humans. We have to educate ourselves about his tricks. We have to educate ourselves about his different various tactics that he uses to mislead people. So that once we are, you know, acquainted with these, then we can defend ourselves by the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala against Shaytan. You know, there is no doubt that Shaytan, he does not allow us to perform good deeds. If we try hard and do manage to carry out some good deeds, then you know what happens? Shaytan tries his utmost best to do what? To prevent our worship, to prevent charity from being accepted. He tries to ensure that we make such a mistake in our worship that it goes to waste, or he tries to put it in our heart that after we worship, it must be known to other people that we have worshipped. Whether or not anyone else announces our worship, we ourselves go on to make our good deeds apparent unnecessarily without a shari'i reason and do not refrain from praising ourselves. Hence, we entangle ourselves in the trap of ostentation led out by Shaitan. Ostentation. What does this mean? It means to perform a worship with any intention other than to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is ostentation. So in other words, ostentation is to perform worship with the intention of informing people about it. Why? So that he can gain money from people, or people praise him, or they consider him pious, or that people treat him with respect. They'll come to him, kiss his hands, and whatnot, whatnot. This is ostentation. And of course, there are some examples of ostentation as well. Like, for example, to learn the art of reciting the Holy Quran, so that people will call such a person, hey, what a good qari he is. Or if a person, or to say or write words that show humility for oneself, such as faqir, sinful, worthless, etc., so that people will consider him to be a humble person and praise his humility. Another example, to meet people in a good manner so that people will consider him to be of good character. Another example, to wipe tears from the eyes while crying during dua, etc., in the presence of others, so that people will get the impression that he is wiping his tears quickly to avoid ostentation. Another example, to say such sentences to impress others. I am very fearful of sins. I am in constant fear of losing my iman. What will happen to me in the dark grave? How will I give accountability on the day of Qiyamah, etc., etc.? To say sentences like, I avoid meeting rich people and famous people, you know, to give the impression that he has no interest in this world and to make others acknowledge his piety. Another example, to saying comforting sentences upon hearing about the troubles of someone so that people consider him a sympathetic person. To hold a tasbih in the hand in such a way that makes people see it, or recite Durood Sharif and other wada'if whilst, you know, moving the lips or reading out loud enough for others to hear it, so that people will consider him to be what a pious person. Another example, to act upon the sunnah properly whilst eating, drinking, standing, sitting, etc. in front of people. Whereas when such a person is alone, then he doesn't act upon the sunnah. To eat less whilst in a gathering or in the presence of others, so that people will consider him a steadfast follower of the sunnah and a person who eats less. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us all from ostentation. These were some of the examples of ostentation and how this is a ploy, a a trick of shaitan. Now, the use of Madani Shana to save ourselves from satanic whispers, waswasas, even during worship, to refrain from ostentation, because shaitan continuously tries to instill evil whispers in our heart. So just as it is important to have sincerity in the heart before carrying out a good deed, similarly, it is very necessary to maintain this also during every good deed and worship. Now, even though it is difficult to think and ponder like this, but it is not impossible. Initially, it may seem very difficult, it may seem hard, but when you continue trying for a long period of time and be patient, then through the favor and grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and through His enabling capability, it becomes easy. Our job is to try. Our job is to make the effort. Our job is to take the first step. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one to give us success. But we have to make in an effort. We can't sit back and do nothing. No, you gotta make in the effort. I'll give you one story. A person once saw shaitan in such a condition that he was walking with his finger raised. So the person asked shaitan, "Why are you walking with your finger raised?" Shaitan said, "That you have no idea. I do many, many big things with this finger. People who fight, quarrel, put one another in difficulties, it is all due to this finger." The person now, he asked in astonishment, "How can this happen?" Shaitan said, "The city you see in front of you, my finger will destroy and ruin it in a short while. And people, they're going to start fighting and quarreling with each other themselves." Shaitan entered the city with the person. In a market, a confectioner was boiling water mixed with sugar to make syrup in a big pan. Shaitan dipped his finger in the pan, took out some syrup and applied it onto the wall. He then said, "Now watch how the city is destroyed." Allahu Akbar. But before that, divas of Madani Channel, before we actually go on to the climax of the story, let us first rejuvenate our hearts and minds by listening to a very beautiful kalam in the praises of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And thereafter, we will be back to continue with this topic of discussion, inshallah. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Mustafa, 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 ya مشعلِ مدحتِ مصطفیٰ ہو مشعلِ مدحتِ مصطفیٰ ہو ہر اندھیرے کو میں جگمگا دوں ایسی ایک نعت لکھنے کی یا رب مجھ کو توفیق دے زندگی ایسی ایک نعت لکھنے کی یا رب مجھ کو توفیق دے زندگی میں ان کی زلفوں کی خوشبو سونگھاؤں ان کی زلفوں کی خوشبو سونگھاؤں ان کے قدموں کی آہٹ بتا دوں میرے لفظوں میں شمس و دوحا ہے میرے لہجے میں بدر و دجا مشعلِ مدحتِ مصطفیٰ ہو مشعلِ مدحتِ مصطفیٰ شاعری میرا ف سخن ہے میں سخن ہوں وہ جانے سخن ہے وہ میری شاعری میرا فن ہے میں سخن ہوں وہ جانے سخن ہے اپنا سب کچھ انہی کا دیا ہے اپنا سب کچھ انہی کا دیا ہے اپنا سب کچھ انہی پر لوٹا دوں میرے لفظوں میں شمس و ضحا مشعل مدح سے مصطفیٰ ہر اندھیرے کو میں جگمگا دوں قافلے جا رہے ہیں مدینے اور حسرت سے میں تکرا ہوں قافلے جا رہے ہیں مدینے اور حسرت سے میں تک رہا ہوں یا لپٹ جاؤں قدموں سے ان کے یا لپٹ جاؤں قدموں سے ان کے یا قضا کو پھر اپنی صدا دوں میرے لفظوں میں شمس و ضحا میرے لہجے میں بدر و دجا مشعل مدح مصطفیٰ ہوں مشعل مدح مصطفیٰ ہوں ہر اندھیرے کو میں جگمگا دوں میری بخشش کا ساما یہی ہے میرے دل کا بھی ارماں یہی ہے میری بخشش کا ساماں یہی ہے میرے دل کا بھی ارماں یہی ہے ایک دن ان کے روزے پہ جا کر ایک دن ان کے روزے پہ جا کر ان کی نعتیں انہیں کو سنا دوں میرے لفظوں میں شمس و ضحا ہے میرے لہجے میں بدر و دجا مشعل مدح مصطفیٰ ہوں مشعل مدح مصطفیٰ ہوں ہر اندھیرے کو میں جگمگا دوں ہے تمنا کے ڈھل جاؤں یا رب پہ کرے اسوہ مصطفیٰ میں ہے تمنا کے ڈھل جاؤں یا رب پہ کرے اسوہ مصطفیٰ میں مسکراؤں اگر سنگ برسے مسکراؤں اگر سنگ برسے ہر برے کو بھلی سے دعا دوں میرے لفظوں میں شمس و ضحا میرے لہجے میں بدر و دجا مشعل مدح مصطفیٰ ہوں مشعل مدح مصطفیٰ ہوں ہر اندھیرے کو میں جگمگا دوں کاش آئے جب ان کی سواری حدیب ان کے قدموں کے نیچے کاش آئے جب ان کی سواری حدیب ان کے قدموں کے نیچے کھینچ کر روح کو تن سے باہر کھینچ کر روح کو تن سے باہر اس کی چادر بنا کر بچھا دوں. میرے لفظوں میں شمس و ضحا ہے, میرے لہجے میں بدر و دجا, مشعل مدح سے مصطفیٰ ہوں, مشعل مدح سے مصطفیٰ
صلو علی الحبیب صلی اللہ علی محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم. سبحان اللہ سبحان اللہ, a very beautiful melodious kalam in the praises of Rasulullah صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم. May Allah سبحانہ و تعالی grant us all the complete love for his beloved Habib صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم. آمین یا رب العالمین. Alhamdulillah, coming back to our topic of discussion in which we are discussing Satan's enmity with humans. And just before going to listen to this beautiful kalam, we have been mentioning regarding how a person who saw Shaitan in such a condition, you know, that he was walking with his finger raised. The person asked Shaitan that, why are you walking with your finger raised? And Shaitan said that, I do many, many big tasks, many, many big things with this finger. People who fight, quarrel, and put one another in difficulties, it's all due to this finger. And then we've mentioned also that the person asked, because he was astonished, that how can this happen? And Shaitan said, the city you see in front of you, my finger will destroy and ruin it in a short while. And people will start fighting, they're going to start quarreling with each other themselves. Shaitan entered the city with the person. Now, in a market, a confectioner was boiling water mixed with sugar to make syrup in a big pan. Shaitan, what he did, he dipped his finger in the pan, he took out some syrup and applied it onto the wall. He then said that, now watch how the city is destroyed. A few moments later, flies came, sat on the syrup that was on the wall. Upon seeing a swarm of flies, a lizard climbed the wall to eat the flies. The confectioner had a cat. Upon seeing the lizard, the cat got ready to pounce on that lizard. Two soldiers were passing by the market with a dog. The dog saw the cat. We know cats and dogs, they don't get along. The dog saw the cat and instantly attacked it. The cat, it jumped in order to run away, and accidentally it fell into the pan of syrup and it died. When the confectioner saw his cat die, he killed the dog. Seeing this, the soldiers saw that confectioner killing their dog. They went to him and they killed the confectioner. The relatives of the confectioner came to know about this, so they killed the soldiers. When the army came to know about the deaths of their two soldiers, they got angry and destroyed and ruined the entire city. So the views of Madani Channel, the lesson that we learn from this is that we must refrain from fights and also try to stop others from this as well, from the satanic work. Because sometimes many fights, they occur due to some misunderstanding. Many homes, rather, many families are ruined. And that's why if someone does want to cause fights, then we should not allow him to succeed in his evil intention. So we must make the strike of Shaitan unsuccessful. How? How do we make it unsuccessful? By staying away from fights, from staying away from quarrels, and treat our fellow Muslims with affection, showing brotherhood, good character and softness. Remember, one cause of fights is objection. This objection is a fight in itself. As one, you know, reaches the stage of fighting and killing through raising a baseless objection initially. So whenever we want to reform someone or bring the attention towards something, then instead of adopting an objecting approach, we should adopt a manner of making them understand. Try to make them aware of their fault, of their mistake, with softness, and important to do it in privacy. To reform another Muslim in front of other people is like insulting him and degrading and lowering his status. And as a result, he would want to retaliate by fighting. See? So do not fight with anyone. Be gentle, loving, and patient. But if you do want to fight, if you really want to fight, then fight against Shaitan. If you want to fight, then fight against your nafs ammara. If you want to fight, then declare war against sins and compete against Shaitan. If you want to fight, then, you know, fight against backbiting and slandering by declaring a war against them. If you want to fight, then show enmity towards evil assumptions and slander. If you want, you know, to fight, then we need to oppose a shaitan. So in summary, if you really want to fight, don't go fight other people, you know, and cause harm, etc. If you really want to fight, then fight against all bad things and bring the society towards good. You know, the extent of shaitan's enmity towards humans, it can be seen from the fact that although he is misleading people through his various tools and satanic whispers in this world, he even tries his best to make people the eternal fuel of hell along with himself by misleading them at the time of their death, provoking them to commit sins and snatching the treasure of faith from them, which is your iman. Now, shaitan did not have the ability to repent. That's why he does not want anyone else to repent and leave his companionship to eventually enter heaven. Now, for this reason, he's preventing people from repenting in this world, trying to snatch their iman at the time of death. He tries to mislead people until the very last breath so that they lose their iman and become deserving of hell. You know, these satanic whispers that shaitan continuously puts into the hearts of people, they sometimes are so, so dangerous that it becomes, you know, difficult. It becomes hard to save one's religion and iman. For example, satanic whispers about divine decree, satanic whispers about iman, satanic whispers about ibadah, satanic whispers about knowledge related to tahara, related to purity. And sometimes this ill-fated shaitan whispers evil about Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allahu Akbar. Like, to give you an understanding of this, when Imam Fakhruddin Razi rahimahullah, when his time of death arrived, shaitan approached him and asked, "You spent your life, your entire life in debates and discussions. Did you even recognize Allah? Did you even recognize God?" He said, "No doubt, Allah is one." Shaitan then asked, "What is the proof for this?" And Imam Fakhruddin Razi rahimahullah, he provided one proof. And as Shaitan, the outcast, had been the teacher of the angels, he refuted it. Imam Fakhruddin Razi rahimahullah then provided another proof, which also got refuted, to the extent that Imam Fakhruddin Razi rahimahullah provided 360 proofs, which were all refuted. Now, he became worried, he became dejected. His spiritual guide, Sayyidina Najmuddin Kubra rahimahullah, he was performing wudu or ablution at that time far away. From there, he called out, "Why don't you say that I believe in the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without any proof?" Subhanallah, subhanallah. So we learned that one method of securing our iman and hoping for a good death is to become followers of a perfect spiritual guide. Yes, and alhamdulillah, the internal concentration of a spiritual guide, of a murshid, of a proper peer, can also prevent the strikes of shaitan to the extent that one can safeguard their iman at the time of death. Otherwise, shaitan tries his utmost best to destroy the faith of a believer at the time of death. How? Through his satanic whispers. So we need to adopt the company of pious people to save ourselves from satanic whispers, to safeguard our iman, to be consistent in performing good deeds, to act upon the sunnah continually, to hate sins wholeheartedly, and to develop the passion of safeguarding your iman, because the mindset of hating sins and performing good deeds is made by sitting in the company of pious people. Subhanallah, subhanallah. So, divas of Madinah channel, this is what you and I, we need to do. Now, why was shaitan rejected? As I've mentioned in the beginning, that we are going to be covering this aspect as well. So why was shaitan rejected? Now remember, before being declared as unfortunate and accursed, shaitan was beautiful, he was handsome, he had a lot of knowledge, he worshipped a lot and was the leader of the angels. He held a very high position, an esteemed position amongst the angels. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said that angels were created from light and Iblis was created from pure fire. Now, before he became the leader of the angels, Iblis, who is referred to as Shaitan, was in charge of looking after the treasures of Jannah for 40,000 years. He was with the angels for 80,000 years. He would lecture to the angels for 20,000 years. And he was the leader of the angels close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salam and Sayyidina Israel alayhi salam for 30,000 years. He was the leader of the Ruhaniyin. And these are specific angels of Allah ta'ala whose faces are brighter than the sun and the moon. So, he was the leader of these type of angels for 1,000 years. He did tawaf of the throne of Allah for 14,000 years. In the first sky, his name was Abid. In the second sky, his name was Zahid. In the third sky, his name was Arif. In the fourth sky, his name was Wali. In the fifth sky, his name was Taqi. In the sixth sky, his name was Khazin. And in the seventh sky, his name was Azazil. Whereas his name was written as Iblis. Iblis means hopeless of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So his name was written as Iblis in the Lawh-e Mahfuz. And he was unaware of his fate. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered him to prostrate to Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam, he said, "Oh Allah, you have granted him superiority over me, whereas I am better than him. You created me from fire and created him from clay. How can I prostrate towards a human made of clay when I'm made of fire?" Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, "I do what I wish." All of the angels, they prostrated towards Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam, except Shaitan, the outcast, who did not prostrate out of arrogance. So the angels prostrated again out of gratitude to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But Shaitan, he remained standing independently. He did not even feel any remorse for his actions. So due to his arrogance, Allah ta'ala declared him as condemned and expelled him from his court forever. And the narration says that his face, it dropped down like that of a pig. His head like that of a camel's head. His chest like that of a big camel's hump. His face like that of a monkey's face. His eyes wide open. His nostrils open like that of a barber's bottle. His lips drop down like the lips of a bull. His teeth sticking out like that of a pig. And only 7 hairs in his beard. In this state, he was thrown down from heaven and has become deserving of curse until the day of Qiyamah. And since then, he became famously known as Iblis, condemned, and Shaitan. We just heard the views of Madani Shana that Shaitan was a very big worshipper and knowledgeable. But due to one sin, he was expelled from the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and declared as condemned. And that sin is arrogance. Arrogance is one weapon from the weapons of Shaitan through which he makes apparent his enmity for people and makes them liable to the displeasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by misleading them. We must remember that arrogance is such a habit that can destroy you. Yes. You know, the people who are arrogant are disliked by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stems the heart of those unfortunate people who are arrogant. The people who are arrogant, they are deprived from pondering and reflecting over and the verses of the Holy Quran, they are deprived from learning a lesson or gaining guidance from them. Such unfortunate people will be made to enter hell, disgraced and dishonored. Person who is arrogant takes himself far away from the company of pious people and even the pious elders. Allahu Akbar. What is arrogance? What is the definition of arrogance? It's simply to think of oneself as better than others and to think of others as inferior is called arrogance. Hence, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that arrogance is to oppose the truth and think of others as inferior. And Imam Maraghib Asfahani rahimahullah, he says, he writes that to think of oneself as better than others is arrogance. Whoever has arrogance in his heart is called mutakabbir. there are methods of saving ourselves from arrogance. Keep in mind, you know, the virtues of humility to save yourself from arrogance. And like this, ponder and reflect over the fact that on the day of Qiyamah, everyone will have to give accountability for what they did. And I will also have to give accountability for my actions in the court of Allah Ta'ala. If my merciful Creator becomes angry with me because of my arrogance and I'm thrown into hell, then how will I bear the horrific punishment of hell? Contemplating in this manner will greatly, inshallah, will help to save us from arrogance. And also together with that, for us to make dua in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to save you and I from arrogance. So here's the views of Mother Inshallah. As of now, we do have a very beautiful filler, a very beautiful piece of nasiha, piece of advice. Let us go forward and listen to this. And thereafter, we will be back to discuss much further into this beautiful topic, inshallah. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam has informed us that the one who recites one letter from the book of Allah Almighty, meaning the Holy Quran, receives one good deed, which is equivalent to 10 good deeds. Meaning that if you read one letter from the Holy Quran, you receive 10 good deeds. Let me give you an example. The first surah of the Holy Quran, Surah Al-Baqarah, Alif Lam Mim. I'm not saying Alif Lam Mim is equivalent to 10 good deeds. No. But I'm saying Alif is 10 good deeds. Lam is 10 good deeds. And Mim is 10 good deeds. So in total, we are attaining 30 good deeds by just reciting Alif Lam Mim. My dear viewers of Madrin channel, take examples of Surah Yasin, Surah Al-Mulk. Look how many words are in these surahs. Look how many letters are in these surahs. By every letter we attain 10 good deeds. So look how much immense good deeds we have to attain by reciting these surahs. My dear viewers of Madani channel, make it a part of your daily routine to recite these surahs so we can attain immense good deeds. And so the Quran can intercede for us on the day of judgment and say on our behalf that yes, this believer, this slave of Allah Almighty recited the Holy Quran and this is how much good deeds he attained by reciting the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله على محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ما شاء الله ما شاء الله. Every day is a learning day, dear viewers of Madani Channel. And what a beautiful piece of advice, what a beautiful piece of nasiha for you and I to recite the Holy Quran, because there are so many virtues in you and I reciting the Holy Quran, the same Quran that you and I recite in this world. The same Quran will help us in our qabr and will intercede for us on the day of Qiyamah as well. So we should make it a habit. You know, if not, if we can't recite one page a day, at least minimum, bare minimum, 3 verses a day, 3 ayat a day of the Holy Quran, recite it with its translation from Gansul Iman. Understand it. And you would see a major, major difference in your life. Because by you reciting the Holy Quran, acting upon the teachings of the Holy Quran, it will illuminate your heart, inshallah. So let us make an intention to also recite the Holy Quran on a daily basis. Now coming back to our topic of discussion, in which we are discussing Satan's enmity with humans. And thus far we have mentioned various different perspectives, we have mentioned various different angles. Now going forward, I want to mention to you a summary of the saying of Imam Al-Ghazali rahimahullah, in which he says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has appointed an angel on the heart of every human being. This angel continues to invite him towards righteousness. The angel is called Mulhim, and his invitation is called Ilham. On the other hand, a shaitan is also appointed by Allah Ta'ala. The shaitan invites him towards evils. The shaitan is called Waswas, and his invitation is called Waswasa. Now Imam Al-Ghazali rahimahullah, he further says that although most scholars of Islam are of the opinion that the angel invites people only towards righteousness and the shaitan only towards evils, yet he says that my spiritual guide has stated that shaitan sometimes makes people indulge in evils by apparently inviting them towards righteousness. How? He does so by inviting them towards a minor act of righteousness instead of a major one, or makes them commit a major sin, and that is much more severe than the reward of a pious deed. For example, if a person has performed a pious deed, shaitan makes him indulge in what? In self-satisfaction. Now, it's mentioned also that as soon as a human baby is born, a shaitan baby is also born. The shaitan baby is called Hamzad, and it's called Hamzad in Persian and Waswas in Arabic. That's why Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that each of you is accompanied by a jinn, by a shaitan, as well as an angel. People ask, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, even you? Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, even I am accompanied by him, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala helped me against him, making him Muslim. He now gives me a suggestion only about goodness. Subhanallah. Sayyidina Madani Shannal, keep in mind that only the accompanying shaitan of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam became Muslim. The accompanying shaitan, the accompanying shayateen of all other people are strong and disbelievers. Anyway, a shaitan who is a strong disbeliever is appointed to cause whispers in our hearts, and he continues to oppose us all the time, showing his enmity against you and I, against us. Allahu Akbar. And shaitan is free, but you are busy. He watches you, but you cannot see him. You have forgotten him, but he has not forgotten you. Even inside you are many of the friends and helpers of shaitan, like your nafs, your desires, etc. Says, so it is essential to fight against shaitan and to defeat him. Otherwise, you cannot stay safe from the mischiefs and harms of shaitan. Shaitan is very close to each of us. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that without a doubt, shaitan circulates in the body of man like blood. And that is why the great Sufis, rahimahumullah, they have said that block the ways of shaitan by means of hunger. Yes. Now, those who eat too much should ponder how they will get rid of shaitan. So we need to block the ways of shaitan. How do we block the ways of shaitan? By hunger, through hunger. You know, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cursed shaitan, so shaitan, what he did, he declared enmity against man. And what shaitan said is mentioned in the Holy Quran, in verse 16 and 17 of Surah Al-A'raf, in the 8th chapter, it is mentioned, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, قَالَ فَبِمَا أَغْوَيْتَنِي لَأَقْعُدَنَّ لَهُمْ صِرَاطَكَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ ثُمَّ لَآتِيَنَّهُمْ مِنْ بَيْنِ أَيْدِيهِمْ وَمِنْ خَلْفِهِمْ وَعَنْ أَيْمَانِهِمْ وَعَنْ شَمَائِلِهِمْ وَلَا تَجِدُ أَكْثَرَهُمْ شَاكِرِينَ. Shaitan said, hence I swear that you led me astray. I will certainly sit in wait for them on your straight path. Then I will certainly come to them from their front, from their back, from their right, and from their left. And you will not find most of them grateful. Allahu Akbar. He was a mother nation. Shaitan is the enemy of even his own close friends who have no enmity towards him. Disbelievers, deviants, transgressors, and sinners do not oppose shaitan, but rather obey him. Even then, shaitan does not spare them and continues to cause his whispers in their hearts, making them more and more stubborn and bringing them closer to doom and destruction. Now imagine how bitter an enemy shaitan will have towards those scholars of Islam and preachers of the Sunnah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increase such people who always oppose and annoy him by informing Muslims about his attacks, thus throwing cold water on his misleading plans. So we should always seek refuge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the whispers of shaitan, because the accursed one is extremely clever and he is cunning. He causes whispers in the hearts of everyone in view of his sight. Shaitan causes scholarly whispers in the hearts of scholars, devotional whispers in the hearts of Sufis, and ordinary whispers in the house of general people. That is, he throws a different net to catch a different type of person. Many times shaitan makes sin so attractive that man commits a sin, assuming it to be an act of worship. Sometimes shaitan appears in front of a person and calls himself to be the Almighty, trying to mislead the person. He did so when he appeared in front of Sheikh Abdul Qadir al-Jilani rahimahullah, as we have heard during this episode. Like Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, that shaitan comes to any one of you and says, who has created so and so thing and so and so thing? Shaitan even says, who has created Ya Rabb? When he disturbs you to this extent, recite A'udhu Billah and refrain from it. Beautiful hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And here, Mufti Ahmad al-Khana'imi rahimahullah, he says that do not even try to think about the answer to this satanic whisper. Otherwise, shaitan will ask another question. So drive him away by reciting A'udhu Billahi Minash Shaitanir Rajeem. You know, not every question is answered. When shaitan did not prostrate himself in front of Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam and he gave reasons for it, Allah Ta'ala did not reply to them. Instead, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, فَخْرُجْ مِنْهَا, that you get out of heaven. Now keep in mind that reciting A'udhu Billahi Minash Shaitanir Rajeem is a very, very powerful and effective wazifa to drive away shaitan. And it became obvious that one should get rid of satanic whispers by reciting A'udhu Billahi Minash Shaitanir Rajeem. The Holy Quran has commanded that one should seek refuge of Allah Ta'ala in case of experiencing satanic whispers. Like in the Holy Quran, it is mentioned, if any whisper from the devil provokes you, so seek the refuge of Allah. Indeed, He is all hearing, all knowing. Allahu Akbar. So yes, if you the nation of this is what we need to do. Next time you have a whisper, recite A'udhu Billahi Minash Shaitanir Rajeem, and inshallah, you would be protected from the whispers of a shaitan. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us all from the tricks, from the tactics of shaitan. Protect our iman. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen. Until then, keep watching Madani channel and continue sending salawat upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Companions, believers, the stories we hear, the timeless message forever clear. The timeless message forever clear. The timeless message. The timeless message.